pipes up Memuchan, right? Memuchan was the youngest of the group over there, of the Sarim. This was Haman. And he says something like this, very interesting. He says, Lo yal ha-melech levada yov savashti ha-malka. Not only on the king did Vashti do something wrong, not only you should be insulted, ki al kol ha-sarim v'al kol ha-amim. She did something against all of the ministers, all of the nations. B'chol medinas ha-melech ha-chashverish. We're all insulted. Why? Ki yetze dvar ha-malka. The word or the thing of the queen is going to go out. I'll call Hanoshim and all of the women. They're going to start insulting their wives, right? Their husbands, right? All the wives of all the ministers are going to start being uppity and insulting their husbands. Why? Ba'amram, they're going to say, listen, Amelech HaChashverosh Omar, King HaChashverosh said, Lohavi Yisvashti Hamalka Lefonov Leibo. Right? King HaChashverosh said that his wife should come in front of him, and she didn't come. So they're going to take a cue from that, and they're going to say, if she doesn't have to listen to her husband, why do we have to listen? V'hayayim hazeh, and then he adds a little bit more. We'll break it apart soon. It says, V'hayayim hazeh toimarno, and today they will say, toimarno means they, it's a female, the ladies will say, the plural ladies will say, who are these plural ladies? Sarais parasumadai. The female ministers of Paras Umadai, they will say, Asher Shamu Azvar Malko, those that heard the words of the queen, what are they going to say, and who are they going to say it to? They're going to say, L'chol Sarei HaMelech, to all of the male ministers of the king. As the female ministers are going to start telling the male ministers what to do. Uchedai Bizoyen V'katzef, and it's going to be Bizoyenes Bushas and anger, and it's going to be a terrible situation. Now, you got to break this apart here. What on earth is Haman talking about, and why is he piping up? First of all, this itself is kind of a chutzpah to the king, right? Imagine you have a king, and he gets very angry about something, and suddenly some little, you know, servant boy says, yeah, king, you know, you're upset, I'm also mad. It's not only you, it's me too. Doesn't add anything. The king doesn't say, oh, really, you're also upset? Oh, good, I see it. Now I see that I'm right for being upset. The king doesn't like the fact that this guy sort of bolsters his argument and backs him up. He doesn't need him. Adarabba, the fact that this little shmendrik is upset means that maybe it's nothing to be upset about. The king doesn't need your support in this area. Why is Haman piping up and telling Achashverosh, yeah, I'm also mad. We don't care if you're mad. You're not important. You're putting yourself on an equal footing with me. It's a chutzpah of Haman. What's he doing this for? What does he want? So the guy explains like this. It's based on the Gemara and Midrashim that Haman had his own issues. Haman's problem was that he had a wife named Zeresh. And Zeresh came from a better background than him. Very similar situation to Achashverosh, where he married above his social status. Haman's wife was taller than him, smarter than him, from a better yichus. And she didn't respect him at all. She didn't give him the time of day. In fact, she wouldn't even speak his language. They had different, you know, mother tongues. She said, I'm not going to speak your language in the house. I'm going to speak my language. If you want, you can speak mine, but I'm not speaking yours. He had bad shalom bayis, kind of unsurprising for Haman, but what is surprising is that she was winning. And he didn't know what to do with her. He didn't know how to win this. So he saw an opportunity over here to get a law passed which was going to help him. Personally, this is a personal selfish move by Haman. It was extremely selfish because he was actually friends with Vashti. The Medrash says that they had plotted to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And they worked in cahoots, maybe they even more than that. So, but it didn't matter. He saw an opportunity for his own advancement and he jumped on it. Now, what did he do and how did he do this? So he did something very, very smart. He understood that Achashverosh couldn't and didn't want to be the one to judge Vashti. He couldn't, like we said before, because a personal insult has to go to the court. But he also didn't want to, because if Achashverosh would have had to judge Vashti himself, he would have needed to be tougher. Because if he would be soft, then he's a wimp. And that's not good. The king is not allowed to be a wimp, right? People will step over him, they'll rebel very quickly. Right, he'll be an Obama. He can't afford to be an Obama. But he doesn't want to kill his wife. So he's going to hide behind the court. He presented his case to the court. The court will give her a slap on the wrist because he hinted to them that that's what he wanted. And he can say, listen, you know, I went to court. That's what the law says. What else could I do? And in the meantime, he gets what he wants. Haman did something very dirty here. He wanted a corner Achashverosh that he can't hide behind the court. He needs to do the psak halacha, the psak din. So he said like this, he said, Achashverosh, you're coming to us that we should paskin because you say it's a personal insult. And personal insults, the king is not allowed to adjudicate. But it's not true. It's not a personal insult. This is an insult that goes to every single man in the country. It's not just you personally that's insulted. This is a danger to the entire country. All of the men will become henpecked and beaten down by their wives. That's maybe not yet the level of national security that he needs. But it's even more than that. The ministers of the parliament of Paras Umadai won't have what to say anymore. They're not going to be making decisions. Their wife behind them is going to be jabbering in their ear the whole day, telling them what to do. When the Pasuk says that Hayyim Hazet, Tomarna, Sores Paras Umadai, that the female ministers of Paras Umadai today are going to speak, let me tell you something. There were no female ministers in Paras Umadai 2,000 years ago. In fact, there aren't any today for us, probably. This is not a place which is very advanced in terms of women's rights. There were no real saris parasamadi. Haman was being sarcastic and saying that the women who are the wives of the real sarim, of the real ministers, they're going to start acting as though they're saris parasamadi. And suddenly we're going to have, instead of men making decisions on behalf of the country, it's going to be their wives pushing their dais into their ears and the whole day telling them what to do and what to say because they have no respect for their husbands. And that's dangerous. Now, this is what Haman wanted. Because now he's going to force Achashverosh to paskin. And once Achashverosh has to make the psak, he can't afford to be a wimp. He has to come down hard on Vashti. Now, in order to get Achashverosh more angry because he saw that Achashverosh was trying to take it easy on Vashti, so Haman did another very dirty move. Achashverosh, as we mentioned, only said that Vashti didn't listen to my command, but he didn't get into the part about the insults that she called him a stable boy. He was, besides that, he didn't want to make that part of the mishpat, but he also didn't want people talking about it anymore. It was enough, you know, he doesn't need to publicize this. Haman said to him very sneakily that, do you think that we don't know? Everybody knows what she said to you. And he says it to him twice. He says, the first in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki Yetzei Dvar Hamalka, the words of the queen are going to go out. Al Kol Hanoshim, and all of the Noshim, all of the women are going to hear, Lahavzeis Baleim Beinein, they're going to hear that she insulted you. Not just that she didn't come to the party, but that she insulted you. And they're going to say, oh, we have license to insult also. We can insult our husbands as well. And then in case Achashverosh didn't catch it the first time, he says it again. In Pasuk Yud Ches, Asher Shomu, those that heard as Dvar Hamalka, the words of the queen. He says, you, Achashverosh, think. Nobody knows what she said. We all know. The purpose of this was to get Achashverosh heated up again, that he shouldn't calm down, and he should want to paskin hard against Vashti. And one more thing we'll notice again is the same diuk as we had before, that Haman, different than Achashverosh, Achashverosh called her Hamalka Vashti today because he wanted people to respect her. Haman threw that away. And he says, Lahavias Vashti Hamalka. Vashti, who happens to be the queen, again, like we explained, that's more common insulting kind of a term. Don't think of her as a queen. She's just a person who insulted the king. So Haman sets the stage like that. That Achashverosh, you can't hide. You have to make this psak. Then he says, okay, what should the psak be? Now you have to understand. He needs a psak that's going to work for him. He wants to set what's called a precedent in law that he can then use for his purposes. Now, if the law is going to be that Vashti needs to get killed because she insulted the king, that does nothing for Haman. It doesn't help him. There's no way that they're going to pass a law that says that anybody whose wife insults him he can kill his own wife. And kazedavar. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So he needs to word the law in such a way that it works both for Vashti and for his own Zeresh and anybody else whose wife is giving him a hard time. And he needs to word it in a way that later on, when Achashverosh regrets killing his wife, Haman's in the clear. He didn't really tell him to kill him. So listen to this brilliant phrasing, the way he sets it up. He says, "Imal Malach Toiv." He says, first of all, you should know this is not me. I have nothing personal here. This is only for the king's good that I'm worried. "Imal Malach Toiv." Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milafonov. They should go out a new Dvar Malchus, not the Dvar Malchus that says you have to come in front of the judges. A new Dvar Malchus. And we're going to put it into law, which is insane. Why even making a law? You don't have to make a law for a one-time psak din, but Haman needs a law. So he says, no, it should be v'yikasev b'dasei paras umadeh, should be written into the law books. V'lo yavar, and it shouldn't be erased ever. Permanent law. Now, what should the law be? Not to kill Vashti, like we said. He doesn't want to be the one that said to kill Vashti, and he also doesn't want a law which is not going to be practical for him to put into play. So he says, let's do something very simple. Mida keneged mida. What did Vashti do wrong? The king told her to come, right? She didn't come. So you know what? Let's do mida keneged mida. She can never come in front of the king again. The relationship is over. Finished. And that's what he says. Asher loy tavay Vashti lefnei ha-melech ha-chashverish. Now, the practical upshot, what's going to happen, lemaisa, is that you have to kill Vashti. Because you can't have a king, a queen who used to be married to the king, wandering around the streets like a bag lady, right? You can't even have her marrying someone else. That's also merida b'malchus. A former queen can marry a commoner. So, in essence, the practical result of this law is going to be that we have to kill Vashti. But that wasn't the law. The law was that if a wife is chutz b'dikta her husband, he has the right to kick her out of the house. Ashaloi tovei Vashti. Any woman who doesn't give correct respect to her husband, he has the right to throw her out of the house or take other such measures of like Tavei Vashti that he's in total control. And then that's why he continues and says, "V'chol anoshim yitnu yikor leval." I'm sorry, I skipped a few words. It says, "U'machusa yitan emel chereusa hatoiv v'mimeno." And if the king is worried about her malchus, that he needs a queen by his side, he'll give it to someone else. The kingship is in your hands, Achashverosh. You don't need Vashti for this. So he says, "V'nishma piskam ha-melech ha-shayasa b'chol malchusi." We'll send out letters. It's going to be heard everywhere. "Ki rabbi," he goes, "this is a very big deal," says Haman. We're going to soon see how big a deal it was. Because those words are seemingly extra. "V'chol anoshim yitnu yikar levaleihem." All the women are going to honor their husbands, the migodol v'ad katan. It doesn't matter if they're great people or small people. The women have to honor their husbands. And they did such a thing, and they sent out the letters that you have to speak in the language of the husband, you have to give kavod to the husband, which is a kind of insane letter to send out. But they did, they sent it out, and Haman got what he wanted. And Vashti, as a result of all this, was killed because she couldn't just be wandering around the streets. Now, the Etzim thing of Yitav Adav B'Ani Melech, I'm not going to go into it at length, but the Gaon just says this is another example of where a person does something which is totally against his own interests. Remember, Achashverosh came to this law, this courtroom, expecting to get Vashti off the hook. That's what he wanted. Instead, Haman twisted it around, and what Achashverosh should have said to Haman at that second was, "Haman, Memuchan, I don't know who you are, you just got here. Be quiet, sit down. We don't want to hear from you. You're talking Narishkeit. This is not a national problem. This is a personal thing. Be quiet. Have a seat." Instead, he doesn't say that. He just like nods his head and says, "Oh, Bahita Badavar, brilliant, brilliant." Which is against what he wants, is against his own interests. How about the Sarim, the other six Sarim? They also should have said to Haman, "Hey, buddy, be quiet. It's not your turn to speak, Bachal. You're over time." Why? The law that protected them was the law that said that the king cannot paskin on a personal insult. And that was put in place to protect them because they have to see the king every day and they have to be in a position of possible danger. if the king gets too angry. So they made a law that the king cannot paskin on a personal insult. This was for the safety of the advisors of the king. So they should have told Haman to be quiet. Instead, like little tatalach, they nod along and say, oh, yes, yes, ooh, gewaldig. Says the guy, and that's because Hashem, when he wants to accomplish something, he'll get people to say and do things and make decisions that are against their own interest. They'll convince themselves, and later they'll look back and say, boy, that was crazy, that was insane. Why would I do that? That absolutely makes no sense at all. But they did it. Why? Because Hashem needed that result. So this is the kind of nes nistar that the Rebbe Shalom does, where he puts ideas into people's head that they do things that are against their own interest. Okay, so this is the case of Vashti in the courtroom and how it got paskin. Now, one last prat, which is really phenomenal. It says in the pasuk Ki Rabbihi, this is a very great law. What's so great about it? What's so big about it? So the Gaon explains that the Rebbe Shalom always gives a person enough rope to hang himself. And the whole Megillah is a story of an Ahafachu. So we're going to see now how this ended up turning over completely and backfiring on the legislator. Towards the end of the Megillah, we have Esther. She's already in the palace, and the Gzeira is already out against the Jews. And Esther's trying to do something to stop it. So she makes a party, and she invites Achashverosh and Haman to the party. And in the middle of the party, the second day's party, she tells Achashverosh that somebody wants to kill her and wants to kill her whole family, which again is very ironic, of course, because this whole story happened from Haman wanting to have Vashti killed. And Achashverosh says, who is this guy? Who is this person? She points to Haman. Achashverosh gets into a rage, furious. Everything is like mixed up in his mind. He says, listen, I gotta get out, I need some fresh air, and he walks out to the garden. In the meantime, Haman saw that Nafal alav, it's over for him, and he comes to beg by Esther, and the Malach pushes him, he falls. Again, these Malachim are all Shluchim of Hashem. Achashverosh walks back into the room, and it seems to him that Haman is trying to seduce Esther, he's messing with her, which anyways had been in his mind because Esther had put it there. We'll see later when we learn it. Esther set it up that Achashverosh should be jealous not to know what's going on with Haman, that maybe Haman has something with her. Achashverosh walks in and he says, what a chutzpah? With me in the house? You're starting with my wife? And Haman starts stuttering and stammering, doesn't know what to say, and then pops up Charvoina and says, yeah, that's not the only thing. This guy is totally against you. You have a friend, Mordechai, that you wanted to give honor and kavod to. You gave him so much honor yesterday. This morning, Haman put up a 50-amah tree in his backyard. He plans to hang Mordechai on it. This is your friend, Haman. The king says, really? This is the guy that I trusted, and this is what he does to me? Kill him. Hang him up on that tree. Haman's lawyer walks in and says, everybody say, not so fast. We know that there's a law in the country that for a personal insult, the king is not allowed to paskin. This is personal. Haman did something to the king's wife, maybe. Haman is accused of doing something that against the interest of the king and his good friend Mordechai. These are personal things. This is not national security. The king doesn't have a right to paskin. We have to go to court for this. Says Achashverosh, my friend, that used to be the law. But that law was changed. You know who changed it? Haman changed it. And you know what he changed it to? He said that even any personal insult is considered a national insult. Because once the word gets out, people are going to hear that the king was insulted, so there won't be any respect. And the next thing you know, the whole country is going to be bezayin v'ketzef. It's all going to become ma'pecha. And therefore, the new law says that I have the right to try Haman and to paskin misa on the spot, hang this guy. So Haman, with his grace chachma, and his killing Vashti, ended up wrapping the rope around his own throat and killing himself. Shekoyach Rabbeisai.